Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schurlein.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schurlein, and this is episode number 32. Today is Sunday, April 14th, 2019, and this is the playoff edition. As you could tell by my raspy voice, I'm sure the rest of you who attended games 1 and 2 at Nassau Coliseum, the raucous Nassau Coliseum, sound pretty much the same way as me. I got my little sidekick right here, Sophia, my daughter, who you always hear in the intro. She's over here watching her iPad, so if you hear some noise from time to time, that's just her. Soph, why don't you say hi? Say hi.
Hi.
She's ready to go for some playoff hockey. She got to experience her first game at Nassau Coliseum against Buffalo a couple of weeks back. She had a great time. I don't know if some of you saw the pictures I posted on Twitter or everything, but she loved it. She had been to the Coliseum with us the last week of the season, so she got to see it close out, although she was only one at the time, so she doesn't remember. But what about these New York Islanders? Unbelievable. 2-0 lead. Really, really, really bringing it to Pittsburgh. The fact that they shut Crosby and Malkin down. Crosby only has 3 shots, I believe. Malkin looked really frustrated the other day. Love it. Love the intensity. There's nothing in the world like playoff hockey. There really isn't. So you have guys now stepping up. We saw Eberle really bringing it to the last week of the season, bringing it into the playoffs. He's got 2 goals and 2 assists. He leads all Islanders in points. Josh Bailey, 2 goals, looks amazing. Then you have Matt Barzal, a relative unknown here for the playoffs. He's really bringing it. That line of Eberle, Barzal, and Lee just is fantastic. Brock Nelson really getting it done. I know there's a lot of you out there who are nervous about that and the season that he's been having, but it looks like it's just continuing into the offseason. It's continuing into the playoffs, and I'm really, really liking everything that I'm seeing from pretty much everybody on the team. But unbelievable storylines here with Robin Leonard and everything that he dealt with in the offseason and the support that he's been given by the team and fans. To hear the chance for him, amazing. I just love it. He needs to be signed. I know, again, some of you out there may disagree, but he's proved at this point that he deserves a contract, especially here on the island. I want to see him stick around. What else do we have? We've got so many things to talk about. A little bit of rough play at the end of game 2 on Friday night. I'm sure that's going to continue this afternoon here at noon in Pittsburgh. Just got to continue to stifle play. You got to just continue to do all the things that you're doing. Barry Trotz has said really great things. He's got them executing the game plan down to a T, pretty much just perfection. You had all these people wanting Pittsburgh or having Pittsburgh coming in and steamrolling the Islanders, and to go into Pittsburgh with a 2-0 lead in the series is just so key. And, you know, you have to expect Pittsburgh to bring it a little harder this afternoon in their home rink. So you just stay out of the box. If you do take penalties, you keep doing those defensive things that they've been doing, and good things will happen. What else do we have to talk about? The Josh Bailey chant, section 329, just really brought it. Everybody chimed in. The whole entire arena was saying it on Wednesday night and again on Friday. Was the coolest playoff experience for me, I think, in my entire life. I've never experienced 14,000 people chanting in unison for one player. It was fantastic. I mean, I'm sure the Sean Bates penalty shot, everybody was chanting then too. Sean Bates, who Friday was in attendance, and there was a really cool moment the crowd had given him, and he seemed to really enjoy that as well. I love it. I love everything about the playoffs. I love everything. I can't say it enough. I've had this smile on my face for the last 2 days or 3 days, really. Unbelievable. We have to talk about just the play of the fourth line, too. And I'm sure that they're going to start this afternoon. I haven't seen anything yet out of Barry. But they're going to come out. They'll probably start the game, get that energy going for, you know, the Islander fans in attendance and for the rest of their teammates. It's going to be interesting to see how everybody reacts now that they're away. They do play a very good road game, very simple, methodical. Everything about the Islanders has been methodical up until this point. You can't argue that. So to see what their response is going to be today is key. I know I'm going to be watching from my couch. I wish I can be in Pittsburgh. My wife wants to kill me as it is for having all these playoff games and not really being at home. It's another reason as to why I'm doing this podcast right now. I've wanted to get something out all week long. I haven't been home. I haven't had the time, and I apologize. It's very important that I get stuff out because I don't want things to get stale, and the energy that I was experiencing and you guys were experiencing, it needed to be captured, and that's why I'm doing it right now. We also have to talk about the power play, too. We've got two power play goals here. I wish they could click at a higher rate, but as you've seen the whole season, they've really struggled there. I'm not saying that they're completely struggling because at times, you know, when they've had multiple chances here and they had a 5-on-3 on Friday as well, but they have scored a power play goal in each game. Great to see. They have been moving the puck a little faster with a little more intensity, not looking for the perfect play, just getting it a little quicker. I mean, it is the postseason, so you do not have the amount of time that you have during the regular season, and I think they're kind of figuring that out. But from the get-go, you have to understand and accept that moving into the playoffs before game one, every team started at an even level. Everybody had 0 points. Everybody's power play and penalty kill was 0-for-0, and that's an important thing. You're starting new. That's why they call it the second season, after all. So the Islanders now, you know, I don't know exactly what the rate of success is. It's got to be in the 30% range or 40% range based on the amount of power plays there. I think they had maybe 8 or 9 opportunities, so a little less than that. But I like what I'm seeing. Power play, penalty kill, special teams look good. That overtime the other night as well, Josh Bailey starts and finishes. Where did this come from? Fantastic feed to Barzal, who comes in, displays amazing hands, and boom, hits the post. Bailey's there to pot the rebound, and the rest is history. They took a 1-0 lead. That game, though, how loud was the Coliseum? Love it. My ears were ringing Thursday morning at work. My ears were ringing yesterday morning on my way to Blue Point Brewery's Cask Fest, which I had a great time. Great to see a bunch of Islander fans there. We had some good chants in the crowd. Let's go Islanders, Josh Bailey. Yes, yes, yes. It was just fantastic. Same thing at the Coliseum. I cannot say enough the job that Devin from Yes Men Outfitters has done with the tailgates. I had a lot of fun there on Wednesday and Friday. I met a bunch of you guys from Twitter and some listeners for the show. Got to hang out with Mike Carver for the first time in a long time both days. Him and I go way back. He does a great job on Yes Men. He does a great job on the Aisle Seat podcast. My daughter's over here talking in my ear. So love everything about everything that's been happening. Just fantastic. We also got to see a couple of Islander greats walking around the tailgate, which was fantastic as well. I posted a picture that I had taken with Billy Smith. He spilled my beer on me. I told him it was okay because I was in his crease. He was out there enjoying himself. We saw Clark Gillies as well, took a picture with him. That was pretty much the rest of the people I saw walking around, aside from the news crews doing interviews and, you know, recording some B-roll, the fans outside. It was a great scene. It was a lot of fun. If there's a game 5, I'm sure it's going to be exactly the same way. A little windy, though. Temperature has been great. It is April. It is hockey. It is playoff hockey. And the show at the Coliseum, outside and inside, is something that cannot be beaten at any other venue. Brooklyn is going to be fun. It was fun in 2016. It was loud. It was not nearly as loud as the Coliseum has been, I'll tell you that much. So a lot to really look forward to here, a lot to watch for this afternoon. It's going to be interesting, like I keep saying, to see what the response is. But if the Islanders manage to get a win, even if they split the next two games here in Pittsburgh, I think they're going to have a real good stranglehold on Pittsburgh moving forward. And as NHL Network and NHL Now and the analysts have been saying, only one time has a team come back from, you know, being down 2-0, and that was Barry Trotz's Washington Capitals last year against Columbus, which also Columbus has a 2-0 lead on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Who would have known? I said to a couple of you guys in the parking lot after the game and yesterday at the beer event, to have this opportunity here in the East for the big boys to go down, you know, Tampa could be, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to be eliminated, but the potential for them to not be in the picture if Columbus manages to kind of continue their play against them. Toronto, I was hoping that they were really going to put a stranglehold on Boston, but as you saw last night, that kind of is going in a different direction with the dirty play of Kadri and potentially being suspended. And then you have Kucherov for Tampa being suspended for a game as well, so that's really going to hurt them in the long run. You take the leading scorer in the whole entire league out of the picture, that's going to be a tough one for them to swallow. So the tides of the playoffs here really start to go in one way or another in the first round. And if all these heavy hitters are gone there in the East for, you know, Columbus and for the Islanders to really have a chance to play different teams in the second round, that's just going to be interesting and open things up for teams that you never really expected to move forward. So again, that's something else to watch there. Now joining me for a little Pittsburgh analysis is one of the guys that I was given a little bit of a hard time to, and some of you guys on Twitter also were given a hard time to, Chase Williams of WPXI in Pittsburgh. Let's get right into that. All right, joining me on this episode of the Isles Faithful podcast, the playoff edition, is Chase Williams of WPXI Pittsburgh. Chase, how's it going?
Good. How are you? At the rink. Nice little hockey game this morning. So, of course.
Of course. Good times. These day games, though, I know Barry Trotz earlier today said he wished every game could be an early start. I know in the past the Islanders have had a hard time getting going for the matinee games. Granted, it wasn't the playoffs, so we'll see what's going to happen there. How has Pittsburgh fared for the matinee games this season?
Not very good. I don't think anyone really likes them, to be quite honest, but there's no choice in the matter today. But the Penguins, they like to use the urgency word quite a bit. And they have to come out. But over the past, since I've been here the last 3 years, they have not been very good at the early starts for whatever reason. But I don't think there's any choice in the matter for either team. So, we will see what happens. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be helped out by the Penguins fans as well to get at least the Penguins going. So we'll see.
That's the funny part about home ice. Obviously, as you saw the last two games, Nassau Coliseum was rocking. The fans were really bringing it. The tailgating was crazy. I'm sure it's the same thing here today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm sure the fans in Pittsburgh are going nuts in the parking lot.
They're not, because it is massive. There's a massive downpour outside right now. So the atmosphere around this arena is nothing like it was on Long Island earlier this week. So, that's an interesting factor to play into this one. Not only is it an early start, but it's raining outside, so no one's there's bars around, so I'm sure they're there, but it's not like the guy that the exchange we had on Twitter with Jeff from Long Island. It's just not happening right now. So I think that's honestly a point to factor in to what can happen here in Game 3.
Well, that's a shame. I hate when fans don't get the opportunity to tailgate, obviously weather permitting. And, you know, I do know with Steelers games and stuff, there tends to be a really good tailgate. And, you know, I'm sure there are some diehards out there with tents and whatnot, you know, braving the elements. Now, what did Mike Sullivan have to say this morning about some of the things Pittsburgh has to do here to try to answer for the Islanders' forecheck and the physicality that they've been bringing?
Oh, they just have to play better. You know, I think for whatever reason, I don't think they played all that bad, the Penguins, in the first couple games. But like you said, the Islanders have just been relentless. And that was one of the things that I thought I knew that they would come out fired up, obviously, with the crowd at the Coliseum. But I didn't know that they could keep it up throughout the entirety of the game, much less both games. And they did that. I think the Penguins, they'll not, they won't admit it, but I think they were surprised by that. Well, they're playing the music here at the arena, but I'll see if I can find a quieter place. But yeah, I think they were surprised by that, to be completely honest. But Sidney Crosby told me after game one, he said they just have to, the Penguins have to get out of their own zone. And as you know, the Islanders dump and chase. They don't have the most skill in the world. So they just wait and pounce on the Penguins' mistakes. Because as Barry Trotz said today, he knows this team very, very well. They know each other. And they just waited for the Penguins to screw up. And they did. So the key for the Penguins is to not play defense and get out of their own zone and be the offensive team that they're accustomed to and be in their offensive zone. I know that sounds simplistic, but it really is true. What's the best way to keep the best player in the world from being ineffective? Playing defense. So at least offensively. So for the Penguins, they just have to get it into the offensive zone and go from there and start peppering Robin Leonard.
Now, you know, obviously the Pittsburgh Penguins are the Pittsburgh Penguins. You have to have respect for them. They do have some of the best players in the world on the same team there in Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So I expect them to obviously come out and play a different type of hockey game in front of their fans this afternoon, as we've mentioned. And, you know, as long as the Islanders stick to their plan, you know, I see maybe a more spirited game. Obviously they were very physical there after the whistle on Friday night. So, you know, the rivalry of these two teams, especially from that 2013 series, I think is being reignited. And that's something that's really good to see. I know as fans, that's the best type of hockey, especially in the postseason, to see. So I'm curious to see, you know, what the series is going to take or which turn it's going to take after today. I don't expect the Islanders, obviously, to sweep because I'm a realist. but, you know, as all the experts have been saying here, there's only been one team that's come back from being down 2-0 in a series, and that was last year, Barry Trotz and his Washington Capitals. So it really all boils down today. I think it's a linchpin game in the series. And I hope for Penguins fans that they come out and they respond here this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, let's be honest. I know a lot of Islanders fans are giving me a hard time for my my tweet before the series that the Penguins would destroy the Islanders. But let's be completely honest. Did anyone expect the Islanders, truthfully, if you inject truth serum into your fandom, the Islanders jumping out to a 2-0 lead? No one thought that, and the Penguins didn't think that was going to happen either, obviously. But this is a really good contrast in styles. And to this point, hey, what's up? Good. To this point, Barry Trotz says his team has executed their theme to perfection, their style to perfection to this point. So. Again, can the Penguins, can they get out of their own zone? The breakouts are huge for their success. And Mike Sullivan, there will be line changes today coming into game number 3. Very interesting. A lot of us in the media don't understand his fascination with Dominic Simone, but he's going to be up on the right wing with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. I don't understand that one, but whatever. We'll see how it plays out. But this thing will come down to if the Penguins, this, again, sounds simplistic, but if the Penguins don't shoot themselves in the foot and make stupid decisions like Chris Letangen did in game one, trying to take on three defensemen and with a line change happening behind them, and Matt Murray has to stand on his head. He has to be solid, which I think Matt Murray has through two games in this series. Brian Dumoulin's been out of sorts coming back from injury. But, yeah, if if I'm Barry Trotz, if I'm the Islanders, if they can keep doing exactly what they've been doing, they'll go up 3-0. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't matter the barn that they're in. But I think things, trying to look at it non-biased, I think things will change today. I think the Penguins do win this one today and start to make this a series.
Now, what about Jack Johnson? Is he going to draw in today? I know he had a rough first game back on Friday, took a bunch of penalties. I know fans weren't really happy with his shot on Pelech, and you know, I think it could have maybe used at least a double minor because he did hit him up high. Although that is playoff hockey. You don't necessarily have to love the hits, especially, you know, if you watched the Toronto game last night, that Kadri hit was just ridiculous and it needs no part of this game whatsoever. So,
you know, that's it. That's another question. I think, again, Mike Sullivan has no issue with sitting guys, scratching guys, and making changes. So that's one that I'm going to be looking for during our pregame show is who's going to be in. Is it Johnson or is it going to be Mata back in that second pairing? But outside of, again, Johnson's only been here one season, but that I tend to believe that he said it was an accident because he hasn't made that type of cheap hit throughout the season. So does that mean that wasn't cheap? I don't know, but there hasn't been a track record, at least I'll say that this season covering him. But yeah, I think that'll be an interesting one. Is Sullivan happy with his play? Is he going to be back in there? And Mike Sullivan said he liked the physicality that Jack brings to that blue line in that second pairing with Justin Schultz. So I don't know. I don't know. There's a ton of answers that I don't have right now. No one has right now. That's why we'll wait and see what happens with the pregame and the line rushes and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think that's just part of the chess match of a playoff series. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, real quick to close us out here, give us a couple of keys to the game for both the Islanders and Pittsburgh.
Sidney Crosby, Jake Guentzel, and whoever is on that right wing with them, they have to produce. Sidney Crosby had more than 100 points this season. Jake Guentzel scored 40 goals, and none of them have a single point in this series so far. I understand it's only two games, but they have to produce point blank. They have to score one way or another. They have to get on the scoreboard, and the Penguins have to stay out of the penalty box. I mean, 8 penalties the other day was ridiculous. And somehow, some way, Evgeny Malkin has to grow up for once. Good gosh. I mean, come on. Like, that's bullet point number one for opposing teams is to try to get under Malkin's skin. And when that happens, he unravels. And that happened the other day. He has to be better. The Penguins have to make the simple plays and stop thinking they're the Penguins from 2011, 12, 15, even. They just can't perform the way that they used to. They have to take what's given and stop trying to force things. So from the Penguin side, that's what has to happen. And Matt Murray has to continue to be solid.
All right. You know, and Islanders obviously have a bunch of antagonizers here in that best fourth line in hockey and also with Leo Komarov as well. So I'm sure that we're going to see some feistiness out of both sides today. It should be a fun one. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for answering the bell. Like I said earlier, I know that Islanders fans gave you a really hard time. But I could tell, I could tell based on the way that you were doing it, it was just kind of to make things fun there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on Twitter. And that's what it's all about.
Sports are fun. It's okay to have fun.
Why don't you give a quick way for everyone to follow you on Twitter, give us your socials and stuff.
Yeah. It's at Chase P Williams on Twitter. Hit me up. We'll answer your questions. If you guys have any questions, from the Penguins perspective, but yeah, at Chase P Williams and, let's see what happens at noon here.
All right. Have a great day. And have a good call, broadcast, everything else. And, hopefully we can catch up here in the next day or so.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, thanks again for Chase for coming on the Isles Faithful podcast to talk about the Pittsburgh perspective. Some good things there. Give him a follow. Try not to give him too much of a hard time. He was just having fun there. After all, it is Twitter. We do the same thing. So that's about going to wrap it up for episode 32 of the Isles Faithful podcast. We're about an hour and 15 minutes away from game time. I'm going to get this episode right out, maybe give you a chance to listen real quick. As always, you could follow us on Twitter at Faithful Isles. You can follow my personal account at Isles Blogger. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, TuneIn, a whole bunch of other ones that I can never remember, as you know, at the end of every episode here. We're also on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we are on YouTube. Follow us, or at least subscribe to us on YouTube. Comment there, share those videos. What? That's my little girl, Sophia. Sophia, say thanks for listening. You're not going to say thanks for listening? All right. Well, she's going to punch you in the face. She just punched the microphone. So we're going to stop that. Thank you guys for listening. It's fun as always. Thanks for dealing with my raspy voice. Enjoy the game this afternoon, and we will see you next time. Let's go, Islanders. Also, hey, Josh Bailey. Say Josh Bailey.